already?
Yes, sir.
Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you that we are children of you. Lord, Father God, I just believe that our footsteps are ordered of you, Lord. And, speak through me. Father God, we just condemn any outside force trying to hinder what is being said today, Lord. And we just thank you for the power and anointing that is operating in this room today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Galatians 6. I shared this scripture last night, and this is kind of the heart of Westview Church and what I believe the Lord has given me. It's out of the New Living Translation. So you can follow on your phone. You can follow in your Bibles if you have that translation or whatnot. It says here, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." See, that's the direction we want to go. It wasn't about exploiting. It wasn't about trying to hurt that person, what have you. If they're caught in sin, we want to help them back onto the right path. You know, there was a time when I went to Mississippi. It was a few years back. Actually, it was that time. It was in 2019, fall of 2019. And this is when Isaiah and I went to watch my nephew's senior day in Iowa. Then I dropped him off in Kansas City. Then I went on to St. Louis and on to Memphis and then on to Mississippi. Now, I wanted to get there because I knew they only have like one road going into that town in Gloucester, Mississippi. So I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do this without the GPS. And they got all these little back roads and dirt roads and stuff like that. I think I can remember. It's been a while. I think I can remember. But I had gotten there because I gotten there a little before dark time. I said, now I know I don't want to be out driving when it's dark in a place that I don't know. You know, I don't know who's going to be coming out in some capes and stuff like that down there. So some hoods and I tell you what, I said, to be truthful and honest, if I see him crossing the street with a fire, somebody's getting ran over. I ain't stopping for no one, Jack. And so I get there and I say, okay, I know there's a little store here, a little red brick store here. I know there was a little convenience store over here, a little gas station. Okay. So I pass those and I go, and now there's a road that goes this way, a road goes straight. I try to go straight, and then there's other back roads and stuff. I said, I know I got to pass a church, a Baptist church there. And once I do that, I know I can turn out on that road because behind that church is a cemetery, and I can turn on that road and go down, and I'll be there. Messed it all up. It took me like 4 or 5 turns. You know what? And by the time I just kind of had a man up and be like, all right, Mom, what's the address again? Alex Road. All right, punched it in. Got me back on the right path. See, and that's the whole thing about that, is that we want to get people back on the right path. I remember when I had preached a message, and Pastor Lonnie, he ended up correcting me on something because I had said we want to change lives. And he sent me just a nice text, loving text, and said, well, we can't change lives, but we can impact their lives. I received that correction, you know, because his heart was pure in every which way. I was like, you know what, you're right. I didn't get upset. When you're wanting to correct somebody, when we're wanting to help that person, the whole motive behind it is to get them back on the right track so they can fulfill the call on their life. It says, and be careful not to fall into that same temptation. That's important. Because sometimes we'll start believing. Listen, you get them back on the right track if people are caught in sin, it doesn't mean, well, there's really nothing wrong with it. Well, yeah, there is. I said, you're a man and a man. You're a woman and a woman. You shouldn't be doing that. I want to help counsel you back to the right path. But I'm not going to compromise what I believe. I'm not going to compromise his word. You help them. Next verse, please. Thank you. Share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. Burdens. Burdens are basically things that are out of your control. Like natural disasters, when a tornado comes and levels out a city, people all over the nation begins to throw money that way, supplies, food, whatever you need. We're sharing in each other's burdens. That's something that is totally out of your control. This is what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ. Share each other's burdens. Verse 3, if you think you are too important to help someone, You are only fooling yourselves. You are not that important. That's kind of self-explanatory there. Pay careful attention to your own work. Pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. This is what I call the petty life. The title of my message is today, let's live the high life. Living the high life is right here. What we're doing, Galatians 6, 1. And then we're going to talk about the low life. We want to live the high life. Stop comparing yourself to other people. You go back to that scripture, please. I'm going to stay on there for a little bit. Thank you. Competitiveness. And that word competitive is petty. And people end up being petty. They got to tear everyone down in order for them to look good. I don't have to go around and devalue people and turn out their light in order for me to look good. Now, people get caught up because they have to control the narrative all the time, and I'm just sharing my story. Probably shouldn't have done what you did. They want to control all of it. Can I not share my story? But sometimes I don't. You don't necessarily always have to. You just keep on moving. We begin to compare. Labor comes out. Mows the lawn north and south. You got to do north, east, and southwest. Well, you got to put some striping on. They get out and wash their car. You got to get out and wash your car. If you want a little more comparison, I said, listen, in the Bible, I believe religious leaders was constantly living that petty life in Jesus' day. Well, pretty much all the time. Jesus was on this earth and he dominated. Religious leaders were comparing because they were constantly looking at him, trying to tear him down, trying to stop the call, trying to stop his destiny. And when we begin to compare, this is what we do, because some people, believe it or not, they like to cheat when they play sports and stuff. And that crosses over into their life. They like to cheat. If I beat you, I want to beat you fair and square. Just so you don't come back no more. So we don't want to live that petty life. You won't need to compare yourself to others when you're paying careful attention to your own work, your own work. Verse 5. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. We're responsible for what goes on. My wife and I, we have student loans. I don't have much, but we share that debt. I'm not looking for the government to pay that off for me because it's our debt. God will do it, help us do it, but I'm not trying to push that off on someone else. It's our responsibility. The bills that you pay in your home, that's your responsibility. I'm not looking for somebody else to pay it for me. We're responsible for our own conduct when we're paying attention to our own work. Verse 6. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. If you know how to make an egg pie, bring it my way. I'm just playing. Don't do that. Because you're going to mess it up. Kristen and Lindsay, bless their heart, they made it for the first time. And yeah, I think your mom doesn't tell us all the recipe and stuff. I was like, and you got to soften the butter very good. I mean, it's got to stay out overnight. Soft butter, and you do hard butter, it ain't going to come out. It'll just look like a pool of mess. Well, they got it right. They know how to do it now. Verse 7. Don't be misled. So this is telling me that you can be misled in this. Just like in James 1:16, it says, do not be deceived, brethren, for every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in which there is no variation of shadow turning. We can be deceived in areas. We can be misled in this. You cannot mock the justice of God. You cannot. You will always. You will sometimes. Always. Harvest what you plant. Always. Harvest what you plant. That's a spiritual law. Can I pray for crop failure? You can pray for it. I don't believe it'll happen. And the reason why is because you planted it. Now, God can bring that down to a degree, but it's for the measure you use, it will be measured. That's a spiritual law. Because otherwise, let me go around, throat punch everybody that I don't like. You know, I got a saying, a throat punch a day, but keep the devil away. I wish I can live that way, but I ended up reading our FCF manual. That's frowned upon. I can't do that. Doggone it. And I can't have anyone do that for me. Not that I would. I can fight my own battles on that. I ain't no punk. There's a song we used to listen to back in the day. Y'all don't need to listen to it. When we were younger, away from my parents. But it's a group called Tribe Called Quest. And there's a line on there that says, I'm far from a bully, but I ain't no punk. I ain't no punk, but I'm far from a bully. I don't go looking for fights. But if you want to fight, we can fight. And I'm going to fight in faith. You will always harvest what you plant. If you want to undo that, then you have to go to that person and undo the seeds that you planted.
That's right.
You won't ever have to. I never have to pray for a harvest, a failure, a crop failure ever in my life. Because you know why? It's a learning experience for me. If I messed up, there's going to be some consequences. See, we have the freedom to say whatever it is we want to say, but we're not free from the consequences of what we say. Well, why did they get upset with it? Because you said that. That's going to happen. So I never, ever have to pray for crop failure, ever. Because I'm a man. I can take it. He took it. It's a learning experience. It's not the only way you learn, but that is a way to learn. A harvest can never be denied, but it can be delayed. And God can do some things in your favor, but it's not going to stop people from not trusting you. It's not going to stop people from, you know, you want that. Well, it hasn't happened. Well, here's the thing. I said they have their own freedom, too. And if they choose to not talk to you for a season, so be it. Are they being petty? Probably. Brandon had talked about that. I'm getting ready to talk about some other stuff. I was like, man, I'm going to have to change my message. Because sometimes we do want to hold that grudge. Verse 8. But he was talking about living the high life, basically. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, this is where we want to be, will harvest everlasting from the Spirit. Everlasting life from the Spirit. See, we don't want to live by that sinful nature, but again, it's that nature, and sometimes we do miss it. Here's the thing. Learn from it. Repentance is not, as my friend would say, it's not about slinging snot. It's about changing your mind. That's not hard to do. Change your mind. Some people just don't want to change their mind. They don't want to change what they're doing because they're comfortable with it. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. If you continually do what is good, you won't ever, 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 never, ever, ever have to pray for crop failure. Because you're doing good. That's the seed you're planting. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Verse 10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith or the household of faith. We're brothers, we're sisters. We're supposed to do good to one another. It's in the Word. We're not supposed to be plotting. And all that stuff, I'm going to talk about the low life. We can go to Proverbs 6. But that's the high life right there. What are worthless? This is the low life. What are worthless people like? Number one, they're constant liars. They go around lying. They go around telling tales. They go around exaggerating stuff. They go around embellishing on stories and stuff like that. It's like they're constant liars. They're always doing it. And they can't stop doing it for whatever reason. They haven't repented. Change mind. Change your mind. Sealing their deceit with the wink of an eye, a nudge of the foot, or the wiggle of fingers. Verse 14. Their perverted hearts plot evil and they constantly stir up trouble. Well, Pastor Tim, we're going to have trouble in this world. If you're going around stirring up trouble, this is where you're at. You're living a low life. Come on over to the high life where you're going to be blessing everyone, where you're going to be walking love with everyone. Love will always overcome hatred and evil. And when you want to live the low life, this is where you're at. God never intended for you to live the low life. Jesus didn't die for us to live the low life. But they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant beyond all hope of healing. There's no remedy for that. Because they're too prideful. They become way too prideful because they don't want to change, because this is how they get stuff done. They live in a low life and they're thinking they're someone, but they're really not. We're nothing without Christ. And when you choose to pick up some armor, you choose to basically side with the enemy in order to live the low life. The devil is a loser and you just chose a losing team. Come on over to the high life. See, there are six things that God hates, yet seven that is an abomination to him. Seven things that he detests. First one is haughty eyes or a proud look. Haughty eyes is basically a proud look. Pastor Brandon talked about pride. Sometimes we got to let go of the ego. Proud look. A lying tongue. When we spread rumors and lies and gossips about people and about things that we have no clue. So I said, some people, well, they can act. I mean, it's so seductive that they can act like they're caring for you, but they're actually lying on you. I don't know if y'all remember that woman. We talked about it in Bible study that tried to marry Brother Copeland in the spirit and wanted to curse his wife, Gloria, who was married to her, to him. Try to curse him, curse her, so that she would die. Jesus didn't die for that. That wasn't part of his redemption plan. But it was a lie. Because she was trying to do something that she had no control over. A lying tongue. Hands that kill innocent blood. We just talked about that. This is also when we're dealing with abortion and stuff like that too. So you realize that people like that woman tried to curse somebody dead. And there's people that will put curses on others in every which way in order to curse them. So they die. Why? So they can take their position, so they can do this, so they can do that and get their own way. That's a low life. Next one, a heart that plots evil. You're living a low life when you have to sit around all day trying to figure out a way to come against other people. That's the low life. I don't have time in the day to do any of that stuff. I'm not very savvy when it comes to that. Honestly, I'm pretty straightforward. I'm blunt. I can go to somebody and ask them this or say this right here, right to them. Or otherwise, I won't say it. I don't try to beat her. I just cut to the chase. And yes, that is an expression. Just cut to the chase. Feet that race to do wrong. That's the low life. Verse 19. A false witness who pours out lies. We know this has happened to Jesus when he was standing, when he got arrested, and he was standing at the council. And they were searching all over to find witnesses. And they ended up finding two. And they basically just twisted what he said and lied on him. Jezebel did this when it came to Naboth's vineyard. Had some witnesses, put them up in a place of honor, put some people right across from them, and have them go right at Naboth, lie on them, then they end up killing them and taking a vineyard. It's vindictive. And a person who sows discord among the family, among the brethren, among the household of faith. People will can go around. I said the enemy can go around and try to make it out to be as if you're, you mind if I use you? Andy?
Go ahead.
Okay. You have a good heart. And everybody will know this is not the truth. Here's the thing. I'm not a very good liar. I got caught every time. People, my friends would get away with it. I couldn't get away with it because I would begin to stutter. I begin to sweat. I begin to do all this. I said, you telling the truth? No. Yeah. It's just pouring down, like just drenched. I'm not a very good liar. And there are four principles that I've lived by. And I'm not saying I haven't lied before. But ever since I came into the kingdom, it's just, I see God working because he will back up everything that he has given me to say. And it's not an arrogant statement. I'm trying not to be prideful in this. I've never lost a battle. And the reason why I never lost a battle, because I choose not to lie. They choose to lie. I choose to tell the truth. And so even when people are trying to say this and, oh, maybe you're perceiving it wrong. I say, you can go jump in the lake, Jack. I'm not perceiving nothing wrong. Andy, you know, I had a talk with Andy and he's not doing so well. And, you know, we just need to get together and pray for him. And you would probably think, man, that's pretty cool, man. He really cares about Andy. I said, there ain't nothing wrong with Andy. I ain't never talked with Andy. How am I going to know there's something wrong with him? Andy didn't give me permission to speak for him. And if, since we're all free moral agents, he can speak for himself. So when he needs prayer, I'm pretty sure he's going to go to his wife and go to God and let's get an agreement. But unless it comes out of his mouth, no one should be praying for him unless the Lord put it on their heart to pray from an individual standpoint. And I'm saying that for me. I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, but I really don't give a rip. I love you. But no man speaks for me. If I need prayer, it'll come from my mouth, from this platform. And the enemy would love to do nothing more than try to make it out to be, to try to snuggle up and act, hey, we're all close. He's going through this. Well, he's having trouble remembering stuff. He's doing this. He's doing that. They'll make it all sincere. And it's just a lie. If you don't understand what I'm talking about that Jezebelic narcissist spirit. It'll come from my mouth up on here. I do self-examinations all the time. Lord, where am I missing you? Where am I missing it? At least twice a week. And if I need prayer, I pray. If I need someone to get an agreement, I got my wife. If I need y'all, I'll get up there. But if anyone else outside of that tries to offer a prayer for me, it didn't come from me. They're lying to you. Because I will never do that. When I was going from Memphis to Mississippi, I went to the Civil Rights Museum. Loved it. It was so great. That's part of history. We get upset because we're tearing down statues, and we don't need to be tearing down statues and all that stuff. I'm going to get some water. Leave that mess alone. Leave it alone. That's part of history. Civil rights is part of history. But you know what? Some people didn't like it that I went. Guess what? I really don't give a rip. They can be, seriously, the enemy could be so controlling in that they don't want you to, what? Learn a little more about history. I like to get a balance of stuff. So that means if I got to go to the left and get some news, which don't really amount to nothing anyway. Then you go to the right, and then you got to get some news from there. And then sometimes, okay, it's good, but my goodness, they're getting a little bit too extreme. I want to stay right here in the middle. Because God is going to blaze his own trail for us, for the church, for the body. I remember I was watching a video about Hillary and Donald. Oh, Donald. China. I should have drank my water like he does. And someone had asked a question during the debate. Can you say one nice thing about your opponent? Y'all remember that part? I wouldn't say they had a hard time doing it, but I thought that was a little bit refreshing. Because all they're trying to do is tear each other down. When you're in the kingdom, you're built up. Because God has taken the lowly things of this world in order to shame the wise. He's building you up. He's not trying to tear you down. There's some pruning all along the way. But he's not trying to tear you down. But when you're living that competitive life, that petty life, there's a lot of tear down that goes with it. We're not going to live that life. We're going to live the high life, not the low life. Yeah, about turn to John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Now, even after the resurrection, Jesus revealed himself to those who believed. He didn't reveal himself to unbelievers. He revealed himself to believers. And he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you abide in the word, then you are his disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So whatever you're going through, the truth, the knowledge of God will make you free. Go to John 1:1, please. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Did I give you 1:14? He was in the beginning with God. Go there, please. Yeah, John 1:14. Can you get that real quick? I think we all know that scripture, though. Who are we talking about? Who's the word? Jesus. So the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. I believe the New King James Version says he was full of grace and truth. He was full of that anointing power. All right, go to John 14:1-6. I like this scripture. Growing up in my church, my great uncle would always read this scripture every time he'd get up. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, but believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and that you, in that way, you will know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Who is the way? Who is the truth? Who is the life? All right, now say it like you mean it. Who is the way?
Jesus.
Who is the truth?
Jesus.
Who is the life?
Jesus.
Who is the word?
Jesus.
That's good. Who is the way?
Jesus.
Who is the truth?
Jesus.
Who is the life?
Jesus.
Who is the word? Who is the word?
Jesus.
Who is the way?
Jesus.
Who is the truth?
Jesus.
Who is the life?
Jesus.
Now go back to John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in me, who is the word? You are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. Who is the truth?
Jesus.
And the truth shall make you free. Who will make you free?
Jesus.
Come on, somebody. It isn't just the knowledge of his word. Jesus makes you free. It don't matter what you got going on. Don't matter what your past is. Jesus makes you free. Well, I did this wrong thing. Listen, I would love to hear the day when we stand before our Heavenly Father and I hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I said, but here's the thing. Here's my heart. I don't just want to hear that for me. I want to hear that for you. So I can say, I know that man. Awesome. I know Jason. He rolled with me. I know Belinda. I know the Browns. I know Jan. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Why? Because we all belong in a household of faith. I want to see you do well. I want to see God's blessings among you. I want to see you impacting lives wherever you go, wherever your foot sets. I want to see God doing a work in you and changing that atmosphere because he is the great one living on the inside of you. It ain't just about me. It's about him. There's a video that I have. Listen, my wife and I, she watched TikTok a whole lot more than I do. I'm going to just confess that. But there's some videos. I said, people are funny. That's good. I said, sometimes I just need a good laugh. And I said, they're funny. But there's this one video I got on there. I haven't put much on. I put a lot of TJ on there. But there's this kid that, that kindergarten class. And the teacher is saying, asking this one student, all right, they have numbers down from 1 to 5. And can you pick up, can you show us number 5? And he's like, picks up 5. And everybody's clapping, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's got his friend over like that. That's right. That's my boy. That's what I'm talking about. Kindergarten. And he goes, all right, can you pick up number 2? He goes, picks it up. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Come on. I was like, we all need friends like that. They want to see you succeed. They want to see you succeed. People, nobody can stop what God wants to do in your life. A proud look. We go back to Proverbs 6. Can you go there? Go to the proud look, the haughty eyes one. Haughty eyes. And then go to Philippians 2:3, if you can switch that. How do we combat against that? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's how we come against it. A lying tongue, when it's at Proverbs 20:19. That's how we come against it. You got Proverbs 12:19. Truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. If you're told a lie, don't get upset that it gets exposed. Hands that shed innocent blood, Matthew 5:44. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. And some people might say, well, he ain't walking in love. I said, here's the thing. I can walk in love with you, but I'm not going to let you walk over me. There's a difference. Stay in your lane, Jack. See, some people think their love, like if they were to, they have to control, that's the way they show their love. That ain't love, because that doesn't come from God. Like I said before, and I'll say it again, and we'll continue to say it, we're called to submit to each other. You're going to get a whole lot. There's one time when my dad would wake us up in a loving way. After we missed doing the chores. And we would have to do the chores and stuff like that. I said, but then there was one day, I remember this very vividly. I went out and just started mowing the lawn. And he comes home from work. And he says, who told you to mow the lawn? I said, no one. He goes, all right. Next thing you know, he's talking about me in church. In a good way. It wasn't always correction, which we needed it because six boys was running wild. But I'm just saying, he kept us in check. But when you do something, when somebody doesn't have to ask you to do or tell you to do, I got my wife trained very well. Nah, she's a hard worker. She's a faithful woman. And I do have her trained very well. I'm not going to get away from that. She doesn't have me trained. No, I'm sorry. I brought my own truck. That's why we come in separate cars. But she's a beautiful woman. She had to put up with me. She had to do some things that she never thought she would have to do when I was in that hospital, and she will never do it again. I was exactly, and she would never do it again if I was. So it's good. Let's go. Next one. Heart that plots evil. Psalms 51:10. Do we got that? Create in me a clean heart, and oh God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. It's important to be loyal. Not just to people, but to God. More importantly, to God. We're loyal to Him. A feat that race to do wrong. Proverbs 16:9. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. I'm trying to help get us out of that low life if people are in it. A false witness who pours out lies. Proverbs 14:25. Thank you. A truthful witness saves lives. But a false witness is a traitor. Now, just like we talked about last week, how Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus still loved him to the end. And you don't stop loving somebody just because they do you wrong and do you dirty. You continue to love them. But again, as George Bush's words would say, you fooled me once, shame on you. You fooled me, you ain't gonna fool me again. A person who sows discord in a family or in a family of faith says, don't speak evil against each other. Dear brothers and sisters, if you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law, but your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. The high life is where we want to be. It ain't going to happen overnight, but it can start. Some of us have started where we want to be is in that high life. Galatians 6:1-10. That's what God wants for us. That's operating in the kingdom of light. And understand, remember, no one can stop you but you. Actually, watching a TikTok, there's this song that some people will say, you know, when you're dealing with their critics and things of that nature. Understand, one monkey don't stop no show. Don't get all bent out of shape over that. One monkey don't stop no show. One thing you got to know, one monkey don't stop no show. They can't stop you. They can if you're operating in the kingdom of darkness. But when you come over here to the kingdom, where you're seated in heavenly places, Jesus came down to bring us up, to raise us up. They can't stop you. And it's not so that we can have an arrogance to ourselves, it's a confidence in Him. Love you, Kristen. My tires may be flat afterwards. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for your word. And Lord, you are so good to us. Help us to continue. Live in that high life, Lord. That's where you want us to be. That's the biggest impact that we're going to be able to have in this community. And not just in our community, but wherever our feet touch us, Lord. In our families, everywhere we go, Lord. And we just thank you for that. Help us to have discernment in what to say and what to do, what to post. That we post what you have put in our hearts, not because we're trying to be petty and try to be competitive and go against this person that we've seen, but so that we can be a light to those who need it. We thank you for your power and your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I am out of breath. Y'all free to go.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.